But it's a blessing to us, wasn't it? All right. Open your Bibles now with me, if you would, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I've titled our message tonight, Christ, Our All. Now, I'm very confident that the Lord has given me a message for you tonight that will be of great help to you, no matter who you are. This message should be of great help to those here who are lost and do not know the Lord. If the Spirit will take this message and let you see, Christ is all. He's all that you need. All that you need to stand accepted before the Father. This message should feed the souls of those of you who believe by making you see one more time Christ is everything that you need. Enable your soul to feast on Him. This message should comfort the heart of God's suffering saints by making them see Christ is all. He's everything that you need, and that'll comfort your heart when you see Him. This message should encourage the discouraged saint. We should never be discouraged, but we are from time to time, aren't we? This should encourage the discouraged saint by making us see that Christ is all that you need. I know the way is hard right now. I know. But Christ our Savior is all. And He'll give you the strength that you need. Now, I've told you often in our study here in the Psalms that the way to get the most blessing from each Psalm when you read it is to look first at the Psalm as the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the old writers say there are 15 to 20 Messianic Psalms. A Messianic Psalm is a Psalm that has Christ as its subject. It's a Psalm that maybe there are the words of Christ that he quoted, or a prophecy concerning the person and the work of Christ. But I say there's 150 Messianic Psalms. That's how many Psalms there are, all of them. Every one of them is a Messianic Psalm. And I understand some might be clearer to see than others, but it's crystal clear in our text tonight. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could say these words. And hearing this should make the unbeliever look to Christ and trust Him. Because you know what? These words can be our words if we're in Christ. If we're trusting and believing in Him. And this should encourage and comfort and edify the believer by seeing again that sinful men and women like us can actually say these words and mean them. And they be true. Because Christ is all. He is, if we're in Him, we can say these words. These can be our words and they be true. Now, I'm only going to look at the first six verses tonight, and I have 4 points to show us that Christ is our all. Number one is this, Christ is my righteousness. Verse one, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. And you know, the last verses of this psalm says, the psalmist says, Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, I tell you what this is talking about. This is talking about the Lord knowing our nature. The Lord sees everything that's in our hearts, that's in our nature. And if we know anything at all about ourselves, this makes us mighty uncomfortable. We don't want to... Do you really want to tell God, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me? Search me and see if there be any sin in me? That makes me mighty uncomfortable, doesn't it, you? Because our nature is nothing but sin. Our nature is fallen in sin and dead in sin. Our nature is the opposite of God in every way. But these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ can say this in complete confidence. Search me, and know that the Father will accept Him. Because the nature of Christ is perfect. He did no sin. He didn't even want to do any sin. Because His nature is perfect. His nature is sinless and perfect, and I can tell you why. It's because He was born of the seed of woman. And He didn't partake, when He was born, didn't partake in Adam's sin, because He wasn't conceived from the seed of a man like you and I are. When the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived, He did not receive Adam's sin nature. Like you and I did. Adam was not the representative of Christ. He's our representative by nature. But he's not the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's born of the seed of woman. And Christ stands on His own. Two men in human history stood on their own. Adam and Christ, the second Adam. Christ stood on his own. And since he is sinless in nature, the Father can inspect, can search his nature and find no sin and accept him. And he did, didn't he? That's why he raised him from the dead. He sent him back to glory because he's perfect. He accomplished what he came to do and the Father accepted him. Now here's good news for sinners. Christ is a representative man. He's the representative of his people. And a believer, when they're born again, now when they're born the first time into the world, they're born with a sin nature, just like every other son of Adam. And if God examines us in that nature, in the nature in which we're born, we're going to be found guilty. But God's people have been born again. God the Holy Spirit gives his people a new nature in the new birth, and that nature is the nature of Christ. We're made partakers of the divine nature. That new man is perfect. He's sinless. He can never sin. So in Christ, the believer can say this. The Lord has searched me. He has known me. And he's accepted me in my nature. The nature I have in Christ. Now that is good news for my soul. To be seen in Christ's nature. And not in mine. Not in Adam's nature. That is rest and comfort and assurance for my soul. And that'll keep me, that'll make me trust Christ, and it'll keep me trusting him so that I'll never leave him. Because the one and only way I ever want God to see me is in Christ. I want him to see me only in Christ. That's how he sees his people. And to be seen in Christ, we have his nature. That is how he is our righteous. Christ is my righteousness because God has given me the sinless nature of Christ in the new birth. Then Christ is also my righteousness in his obedience as my representative. Verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Now again, we know God sees everything. God knows everything. We can't do anything and hide it from God. God sees everything we do. He sees everywhere that we go. And that makes a sinner mighty uncomfortable to think about God seeing me everywhere I go, everything I do, because everything I do is sin. Everywhere we go, we're sinning. We're sinning when we get up. We're sinning when we sit down. Everything. And if the Lord will judge us on our actions, we're going to be found guilty and be condemned. We all know that. But the Lord Jesus Christ could tell his Father, Father, you know everywhere I went. You know my uprising, my down sitting. You know everywhere I went pleasing you. Everything I did was fulfilling your will. Everything I did was perfect and sinless. Everything I did was well-pleasing in your holy sight. The Lord Jesus Christ could say that and it'd be true. Now look back at Psalm 32. Here's good news for sinners. The Father has imputed the obedience of Christ to his people. He imputes righteousness to them because Christ has made his people righteous. Psalm 32. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, why won't the Lord impute sin to his people? Why won't he charge his people with sin? Aren't they guilty? Oh, yeah, they're guilty. They committed the sin. But you know why God won't charge them with that sin? Because he charged Christ our substitute with it. And punished him fully for that sin. And God's elect have been given new life. They've been given the life of Christ. I tell you what that means, to be given the life of Christ. It means his life. His life as a man on this earth is our life. Everywhere Christ went, his people went. Every uprising, every down sitting we did, that he did, we did too, because his people are in him. Everything Christ did, his people did too. They did it in him. So God's people, God's elect, are perfect in Christ. There's no reason that God would condemn them because they're perfect. They've been made perfect in Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, did that as the representative of his people. And since he did no sin, his people did no sin because they're in him. Now, I tell you, that's the best reason I can think of to come to Christ and begging Him for mercy, begging Him to be my righteousness, because in Christ I'm perfect, spotless, obeyed God's law perfectly. And that's a mighty good reason to believe Christ and to keep believing Him, to rest in Christ, because in Him I'm sinless. There's no reason for me to ever doubt Him. In Him I'm perfect because His righteousness, He is my righteousness. Then Christ is my righteousness because Christ is my mind. At the end of verse 2, the psalmist says, "Thou understandest my thought afar off." Now we know that God looks on the heart. God knows all of our thoughts. I mean, we might be able to hide our thoughts from one another. Janet, she thinks that I'm an open book to her. She thinks she can always read my mind. Sometimes she can. Sometimes she can. Sometimes I might be able to fool her. Not God. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows them before we do. And all of our thoughts are sinful. Sinful thoughts. And you know what our Lord said? Even if you don't act on that thought, but you just think it. You just think about doing something sinful. You just think it. You're guilty of it, even if you don't act on it. God knows all of our thoughts. And this is what I know from Scripture, I know from my experience. My thoughts are not God's thoughts. My ways are not God's ways. And that truth fills a sinner with fear, doesn't it? Fear of God's judgment. But the Lord Jesus Christ could tell His Father, "Father, You know my thoughts. You know my thoughts are far off, and You know they're perfect." The Lord Jesus Christ did no sin because He thought no sin. I mean, He never even thought about sinning because He's perfect. And here's good news for sinners. In the new birth, God the Holy Spirit gives His people a new mind. You who believe have been given the mind of Christ so that His thoughts are our thoughts if we're in Him, if we believe Him. And this is so comforting. When my actions sometimes make it appear that I do not know Christ, that I do not trust Him, that I do not love Him, that I do not believe Him, I show myself to have such a bad attitude and I do wrong, and you think, how can a believer do that? Does he even know Christ? Does he love Him? Does he even trust Christ? Well, my actions sometimes make it appear that I do not know Him, that I do not trust Him. I could say with Peter, "Lord, You know all things. You know I love You. You know my thoughts afar off. You know because You gave me that mind." Now, you understand that's no excuse for sin. You understand that, don't you? But that's the reality of the believer's life in this flesh. We're flesh and spirit. And when all you can see of me is the flesh, that's real. But the Spirit is too. And we can honestly say to the Lord, "Lord, You know all things. You know I trust You. You know I believe You. You know that I love You. Because I've been given the mind of Christ." Then Christ is my righteousness because Christ is my words. Verse 4. "There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." Now the Lord hears all of our words. And by nature, what are our words? Scripture says we come forth from the womb speaking lies. That's our words. Our lips are full of guile and sin and lies. I just couldn't even tell you how many things that I've said that I wish I could take back. We pop off, and you know what comes out? It just flows out. Sin. Vileness, it just flows from us like lava erupting from a volcano. You know why that is? Because we've got a heart of sin. I mean, a volcano, all it can do is spit out lava because that's what's in it, right? You know why when we open our mouth, all that can come out is lies, guile, and sin? Because that's what our heart is. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that thought fills a sinner with fear of judgment. I might say something to you, maybe you forget it. Maybe you're getting hard of hearing, you didn't hear it. quite good. You know, we're wearing masks. You know, sometimes you can't hear because you can't read lips. You can, maybe you forgive me. Maybe. But the Lord doesn't forget. He hears every word. And if the Lord charges me with every careless word, I will surely be damned. But here's good news for sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ never sinned in thought, word, or deed. Never. Now the Father, remember, has put all of His elect in Christ, our representative, so that we said what He said. Now let me show you something. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Look first at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. God gives His people a mouth, just like the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that says the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Every word was perfect. There's no hypocrisy, no sin, no guile ever found in His mouth. That's the perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look over Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, verse 3. Now these are those in glory. These are saved people. These are God's people, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 3 says, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. If you remember from our study in Revelation, that's a definite number for an indefinite number of people. It's the number of perfection. All of God's elect gathered together, they're the only ones that can learn this song, which were redeemed from the earth, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Now, does that mean that they are perfect in themselves? Absolutely not. Because look what He says next. These were redeemed. They're not perfect in themselves. They had to be redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. In their mouth was found no guile. Sound familiar? That's the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's people made just like Christ. And I understand that there, in glory, it will be perfect. But you know, the same thing is still true on this earth today. This is what believers do. They say what Christ said. That's exactly what they do. When we preach, we just say what the Word of God says. Preach the Word, Paul told Timothy. Just take God's Word and tell people this is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. This is what that means. Let me take His Scripture and point you to Christ. That's what we do. Preach, just saying what God says. But that's not just preachers. That's every believer. Every believer says, I believe God. I believe Christ. He is my all. And we testify. Just like we are in court. When you go to court, you testify, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. We testify that we believe God. And that word testify, you know what it is? The word means to say the same thing. It's just to say the same thing that God says. That's what believers say. God says, I'm a sinner. God says, I'm lost, I'm defiled, I'm helpless and hopeless to save myself. And I say the exact same thing. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm defiled. I'm helpless to save myself at all. There's no hope in me whatsoever. That's what God says. By God's grace, that's what I say. I say the same thing. And God says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And by God's grace, I say the same thing. The only hope that I have is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save me. Because He did indeed save His people from their sins. I believe God. Do you believe God? I believe God. By God's grace, the believer says that without guile and without hypocrisy. It's an amazing thing, but I really do believe God. Now, that's a good hope. If Christ is my righteousness, thought, word, and deed, nature, I have a good hope. All right, number two, Christ is all. Christ is on my way. Verse 3, back in our text, Psalm 139. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Now all my ways by nature are sinful ways. By nature, my ways are not God's ways. Our way by nature, our Lord said, is the broad way that leads to destruction. And many find it. And the Lord knowing our ways, knowing our sinful ways, that fills the sinner with fear of judgment. But the good news of the gospel is this. My sinful way does not have to be the way I enter into eternity. It doesn't have to be. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be the way of his people, the way of righteousness, the way of salvation, the way of forgiveness, the way to enter into life, the way to enter into glory. God sent Christ to be the straight and narrow way that leads to life. And the straight and narrow way is plenty wide enough for you. Don't think, well, it's so narrow, I can't fit. It's so straight, I can't fit. It's plenty wide enough for any sinner who will come naked, who will come carrying nothing. You can't come carrying a suitcase now. You can't come carrying a suitcase full of, you know, these things you think will recommend you to God, all these things you think you've done. You can't come wearing a backpack now, you know, think you're going to have some provisions along the way and you're carrying. No, you got to come naked. You got to come empty. You got to come carrying nothing. And if you'll come to God that way, the straight and narrow way, plenty wide enough for you. The way is wide open to any sinner that'll come to God in Christ, pleading nothing but Christ. But God knew that by nature his people would not do that. That his people would be in a sinful way of death and destruction and rebellion. So you know what God did? God didn't leave it up to them to change paths. God put his people in Christ. He put them in Christ, the way of life. And as a man, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ was perfection in life. And by God's grace, the way of God's people is the way of Christ our representative. What he did, we who believe did too. So our way is the way of perfection. It's the way of life because we're in Christ. Now the way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to God in him and you'll be accepted. And you know that believers are in that way. God put them in that way. Put them in Christ the way. And you know believers will never fall out of that way. Some folks might hang around the doctrine for a while and leave, but nobody who's in Christ, the way, will ever leave it. Job said this, Job 17, verse 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way. Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the righteous one. The Lord our righteousness, he shall hold on his way. He has brought in everlasting righteousness. He brought salvation to his people and he'll hold on to his way. He'll not lose one of them. No man can pluck any of God's sheep out of his hand. And none of God's elect will ever become unrighteous. Ever. They'll never come out of the way because the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one, shall hold on his way. And because Christ is our way, the believer can also say this with absolute assurance. The righteous shall also hold on his way. The believer will hold on his way. And he'll not leave Christ. He'll not depart from faith in Christ. He won't do it. Can't do it. You know why he'll hold on his way? And he'll never leave Christ. You know why? Because Christ the Savior won't let us. He won't let us leave him. He won't let us leave the way. The psalmist here says the Lord compassed our path. And at first I thought that meant like he surrounds us and won't let us leave the path. But that's not exactly what it means. The word compass there means winnows. Like they would winnow the chaff from the wheat. You know, they get the wheat and the chaff and the threshing floor, whatever they had. And they have big fans and they blow and the chaff is light. It's air just blow it away. You know, the wind is blow. It blows the chaff away and leaves the wheat. That's what God does with his people. He winnows us. He blows the chaff away and stops that chaff, the chaff of the flesh, the worthless husk of the flesh, stops it from taking control and making us leave Christ. Now, the Lord is acquainted with all of our ways. And when you think of that in terms of being a sinner, that frightens you, doesn't it? But when you think about this being a believer, the Lord is acquainted with all of our ways. This will comfort your heart. He knows all of our ways. He'll never let us fall out of it. He knows where we're going before we do and stops us from departing from Him. The righteous also shall hold on His way. Our Savior, Christ the way, the truth, and the life, He'll see to it for us. It's not that we got to be so strong we're going to hang on ourselves. But Christ is all. He's my way. And He'll see to it I stay in it. All right, number three, Christ is all. Christ is all of my sin offering. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. This word beset, it means besieged, like a army would come and lay siege to a city, and they'd surround it, they wouldn't lay anything out. They're trying to starve them out. They're trying to destroy them. And when the Father made Christ to be sin for His people, the Father beset His Son. He laid siege to His Son with the intention of punishing Him fully and destroying Him, putting Him to death for that sin that became His sin. The Father laid His hand of justice upon His Son. He laid a heavy, heavy hand of holy wrath upon Christ our substitute. He stretched out His hand and He plunged the sword of justice into the heart of His fellow. And in that great sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the awful, bloody price for sin. He suffered until there was no more sin. He suffered until His blood washed away all the sin that was laid upon Him. He suffered until His agony put all of that sin away. So the sin of God's elect is gone forever. It does not exist. So you know what the result of Christ's sacrifice is for God's people? Now God lays His hand, not His hand of justice, not His hand of wrath. He lays His hand of mercy and grace on His people. He reaches way down for me, way down, and pulls His people up out of the deep miry clay and saves them by His grace, by His justice. His hand's not short and it cannot save. It reaches His people where they are, every last one of them, and saves them. Because He took His hand of justice and smote His Son with it as our substitute. And Christ our Savior has completely eradicated this problem of sin for His people. Earlier in the psalm, we saw how the Lord sees our sin nature. Well, you know, no one knows better than the Lord that the power of our sin nature was destroyed when Christ died as our substitute. Earlier we saw how the Lord sees all the sin of His people, their sin of action, their sin of thought, their sin of word, the sin of their way. Nobody knows better than the Lord that all of the sin of His people, all of their sin of thought, all of their sin of word, all of their sin of deed, all of the sin of their way has been put away under the blood of Christ. No one knows better than Him because He's the one that did the transaction. So the believer can say, Lord, search me and know me in Christ. Now, not in myself, not in Adam, but search me and know me in Christ. And the all-seeing eye of Almighty God. Everybody knows God sees everything. He sees everything that exists. Everybody knows that, right? But the all-seeing eye of God can't find even one speck of sin in His people. Because the sacrifice of Christ completely and fully put it away and washed His people white as snow. Now there is such good news there in the sacrifice of Christ for His people. Now it's awful. It's awful to think what He suffered. I mean, you just try to imagine the sufferings of Christ. I promise you, we hadn't scratched the surface. I mean, the sufferings are so much greater than we can imagine, and what we imagine is horrible, isn't it? It's awful what He suffered. But what good news in that sacrifice. That's good news to me. Because I tell you, I am so sinful. The only way my sin could be put away is in the blood of the Son of God. The blood of the Son of God is so powerful, it washes His people white as snow and makes them accepted by the thrice holy God. Because Christ is our sacrifice. All of our sacrifice. He didn't need us to sacrifice anything to help Him out. By His one sacrifice, He has once and for all put away the sin of His people. And then fourthly, last, Christ is all. He's our only object of worship. Verse 6 says, David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. Now, this is what David actually wrote. That word attain is in italics. It's been added by the translators. This is what David actually wrote. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot. I cannot unto it. He just couldn't find the word. I cannot unto it. He couldn't find the words to describe the glory of the Savior. He couldn't find the words to describe how glorious Christ is to me. He couldn't find the words to fully explain how it is that when I look at myself, all I see is sin. My actions, my uprising, my down sitting, my thoughts, my way, my words, my nature, all I see about myself is sin. Yet when God sees me, I have no sin. I'm white as snow. How God could take my sin and make that sin to be Christ and put Him, I cannot. The human words don't exist to describe the glory of that. David just said, I cannot. I can't find the words to say how amazing it is that God would sacrifice His Son, that He'd slaughter His Son, that He'd humiliate His Son to be made flesh and dwell on this earth as the representative of His people. He'd humiliate His Son to be curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. We'll get to that here in a couple of weeks. To be an embryo in the womb of the Virgin Mary. To be born and be under the rule of parents who He created, who He's giving life and breath to. To grow up under that system of the law, His own law, and keep it perfectly. To be humiliated when His hour finally came to give Himself to both the Jews and the Gentiles. To be humiliated, stripped naked. To be tortured, having His beard plucked out. To be mocked and made fun of. To be wearing some old Roman soldier's blanket as a king's robe, a crown of thorns on His head, a reed as a scepter in His hand, be mocked and made fun of. To be blindfolded and have them soldiers just hit Him in the face with their fists and say, you're a prophet? Prophesy and tell me who hit you. And then for the Holy Son of God to be made sin. Now the Father loves the Son. And still yet He made His Son sin for His people. And in an absolute justice with no hint of love, no hint of mercy, no hint of kindness, no hint of, well, He didn't do it. It's a sin of somebody else. No, it's His sin. Put Him to death for it in the most painful, horrible way that we can imagine. I say with David, I cannot. I can't find the words to say what it is that somebody as wonderful and as precious as the Lord Jesus Christ would do something so awful for a vile wretch like me. But He did. I'm thankful. I can't find the words to say how gracious God is to sinners like me. I can't find the right words. Can you? To express the right amount of thanksgiving. How can we ever thank God for what He's done for us? How can we ever? How can we ever find the words to praise God for His grace? As He ought to be praised. How can we find the human words to praise God for His character? How can we ever praise Him the way He ought to be praised? How can we find human words that are sufficient to worship God as He ought to be worshipped? All we can do is say with David, I cannot. All we can do is fall before Him. It's silent, heart worship, and awe. I cannot. All I can do is beg Him, Lord, save me. Save me. Save me. See me only in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my great prayer every day as I prepare for to preach messages here Sundays and Wednesdays. This is my great prayer that the Lord would show us His glory. Lord, show us Your glory. Reveal Your glory to us. Because this I promise you, if we ever see His glory, we'll fall down and worship. We won't be hunting around for the right words. We won't be, you know, concerned about, oh, do I have all the right words? Do I have the right order of service? I'm doing this right. If God shows us His glory, we'll worship. And it will be heart worship. And the only thing I know to do in light of such a Savior, in light of such a salvation for sinners, the only thing I know to do is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship God our Savior. The only thing I know to do is keep preaching Him. I know. I drive down this road, and normally I got Janet with me to talk me off the ledge. I'm depressed. I didn't say that right. I didn't say that well enough. And brother, if you're dependent on my words, on my ability to show you the glory of Christ, you're going to be sorely mistaken. I know they're not sufficient to His glory. I know. But could be, God will take His word and the stumbling, bumbling words of a man and apply it to the hearts of His people. Enable them to see Christ. Could be, because you know why I have hope? Because He said it's by the foolishness of preaching God saves His people. So while part of me says, I cannot. I can't find the words. This is what I'm determined to do. Keep trying. Keep preaching Him. Keep pointing you and me both to Him. Because nothing else is worth talking about. Nothing else will do your soul any good at all. If God the Holy Spirit gives us faith to see our need, to see we're nothing and that Christ is all, we'll have no problem worshiping, will we? No problem. No problem resting in Him. That's what I pray God will do for us tonight. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank You for the precious words of this song, showing us how in any way we can look at it, Christ is all. He's all that we need. Father, I beg of You that You take Your word as it's been preached tonight and use it to reveal Your glory to the hearts of each one here. Cause each one of us here, by a miracle of Your sovereign grace, to leave here with a gift of faith, believing, trusting, and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our all in all. Father, how we thank You. How we thank You for Him, and how we pray You'd bless Your word. All these things we ask and we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for His glory. And for His sake we pray. Amen. All right.